Is there something wrong?
Warning. Life support failure on all decks. Abandon ship.
Maybe it is time to take command.
Bridge to Captain.
Join Jan Shaw, updating current events as only Jan can.
Library computer, data being received.
Produced by CosmicReality.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's Cosmic Creating Show. My name is Jan Shaw. I'm known as the Success Alchemist. You can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net, thewebalchemist.net, empoweredmanifestation.com, Facebook and YouTube, Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist, on Twitter at Coach Jan Shaw, on True Social, Success Alchemist, and on Telegram, US UK Patriot. Today is the 30th of July 2022, and the title of today's show is 1984 is Here, FBI Corruption, January 6th Truth. And I want to start off today by highlighting how the Democrat Party is trying to change the definition of so many things that are controversial. Just the news reports on this. I'm going to start with this article. War on words. Left seeks to redefine terms like female, pedophile, and even recession. And it starts out, there's either no distinction between a man and a woman, or it's important that a woman is on the Supreme Court. But there's no bloody way I'm giving you both, said Jordan Peterson. The left and its allies in the media have long manipulated the meaning of words for political advantage. This is, by the way, published the 29th, so yesterday. For instance, illegal aliens became undocumented workers in most news stories about a decade ago. But the war on words has been escalating as the left presses LGBTQ plus rights and seeks to obscure the reality of a Biden recession. The Merriam-Webster dictionary, for instance, has changed the definitions for female, male, they, boy and girl to fit with gender identity ideology. While these changes were made in 2019 and 2020, the Daily Wire podcast host Matt Walsh and conservative account Libs of TikTok posted tweets about the definition changes last week. For male and female, listed definitions include having a gender identity that is the opposite of female and having a gender identity that is the opposite of male, respectively. For they, one of the definitions is a single person whose gender identity is non-binary. Boy and girl are defined as a child whose gender identity is male and a person whose gender identity is female, respectively. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, meanwhile, has updated its guidance on COVID-19 illness for pregnant and recently pregnant people. Instead of calling those who are pregnant women, the page adopts the gender-neutral term people to blur the biological, as opposed to social, basis of male-female differences. Only once does the updated guidance mention pregnant women, although the studies it cites on COVID risks associated with pregnancy and childbirth freely refer to women. During Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson's nomination hearing, she said she couldn't define what a woman was because she wasn't a biologist. In June, Walsh released a documentary with the Daily Wire entitled What is a Woman? That sees the narrator travel the world to get an answer to the question. On release day, the Daily Wire's website experienced a DDoS, denial of service, attack, where hackers disrupt a website with bot traffic to prevent users from accessing it. Despite this, the film was the most streamed in the history of the site, co-CEO Jeremy Boring said. Walsh was suspended from Twitter earlier this year for tweeting, "The greatest female Jeopardy champion of all times is a man. The top female college swimmer is a man. the first female four-star admiral in the public health service is a man. Men have dominated female high school track and the female MMA circuit. The patriarchy wins in the end. Twitter has also now banned the use of the word groomers on its platform. The term came into wide usage after opponents of Florida's parental rights in education bill labelled the measure the Don't Say Gay bill, despite the legislation only banning developmentally inappropriate instruction on gender identity and sexual orientation in public schools for grades K to 3. Those mischaracterising the measure were in turn labelled groomers by some supporters of the bill. The term is now covered under Twitter's hateful conduct policy when it is used as a descriptor in context of discussion of gender identity. Twitter's health product communications lead Lauren Alexander told the Daily Dot. Grooming is a slur that falsely equates being LGBTQ with being a pedophile, the Daily Dot reported. Groomer isn't an anti-LGBTQ slur, Christina Pushaw, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' press secretary, replied on Twitter. It's a description of an evil behaviour that sick adults of all sexual and gender identities engage in. Why do you conflate this behaviour with LGBTQ? On Monday, Twitter suspended journalist and podcaster Tim Pool for using the word groomers. Pool deleted the offending tweet, saying that he didn't care enough about Twitter for the tweet to stay up, so whatever. He later tweeted, "Twitter allows pedophiles to groom your kids on the platform." His next tweet read, "From now on, I just straight up call them pedophiles." Meanwhile, some identity politics ideologues are now urging adoption of the term minor attracted people to denote pedophiles. In November, former Old Dominion University professor Alan Walker, author of the book A Long Dark Shadow, Minor Attracted People and Their Pursuit of Dignity, stepped down from the university following an uproar over comments the academic made in an interview about the book. The euphemism minor attracted people is less stigmatizing than other terms like pedophile, Walker explained. A lot of people, when they hear the term pedophile, they automatically assume that it means a sex offender, and that isn't true, and it leads to a lot of misconceptions about attractions towards minors. After being let go by ODU, Walker, a trans woman who identifies as non-binary, said, "My scholarship aims to prevent child sexual abuse. John Hopkins University's Moore Center for Prevention of Child Sexual Abuse announced in May that Walker was joining the center as a postdoctoral fellow." Transgender YouTuber and podcaster Blair White mocked a perceived double standard in Twitter's treatment of the terms groomers and minor attracted people. "So, we're not allowed to call anyone groomers on this app, but pedophiles are allowed to call themselves MAPs, minor attracted people," White tweeted. "Just burn it all down at this point." Twitter has also suspended users for deadnaming transgender persons. For instance, Canadian author Jordan Peterson was suspended last month for calling Elliot Page by the transgender actor's former name, Ellen Page. Peterson, a clinical psychologist, tweeted, "Remember when pride was a sin and Ellen Page just had her breasts removed by a criminal physician?" The Rubin Report podcast host and author Dave Rubin was then suspended on Twitter earlier this month for sharing a screenshot of Peterson's tweet. During a book tour appearance in May, Peterson decried the intellectual confusion bred by gender identity ideology. Observing that supporters of Jackson's Supreme Court nomination simultaneously proclaim that a woman is absolutely necessary for the highest position in the land, or one of them, while claiming not to even know what a woman is, he said, he told Democrats. "Look, you can have one of those, you know, there's either no distinction between a man and a woman, or it's important that a woman is on the Supreme Court, but there's no bloody way I'm giving you both, because I don't even know how to do that. I have no idea how to do that. Like, what am I supposed to do? Celebrate womanhood and simultaneously celebrate the fact that the differences between men and women are so trivial that they're irrelevant and then can be changed at whim. That is insane. It violates the law of non-contradiction. On Thursday, the Associated Press, taking its cue from the Biden administration, obfuscated the common long-standing definition of recession, saying that while it's a common rule of thumb that two straight quarters of an economic contraction equal a recession, it isn't an official definition. The White House website claims that official determinations of recessions and economists' assessment of economic activity are based on a holistic look at the data, factoring in a wide array of variables beyond negative growth rates. So the White House and the Democrat Party want to deny there's a recession, while all sensible people can see it as plain as the nose on their face. The Blaze, or Blaze Media, also reports on this. This list of words being redefined under the Biden admin has Twitter freaking out. What a strategy. When you lose an argument, just change the dictionary. This was on the 28th of July. And it's got an image which really highlights the 1984 scenario of this. It says, war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength, which, as we know, is a complete inversion of the truth. As many Americans fear a coming recession, the Biden administration has conveniently decided to say that we can't trust the conventional definition of recession. Instead, we'll just have to wait until after the midterm elections to know for sure. But that's hardly the first time the left has redefined a word or phrase as part of its terrifyingly Orwellian strategy to control language for political purposes. Glenn Beck posted a list of terms the left is redefining under President Joe Biden alone, and this is on Twitter. Under Joe Biden alone, the left has tried to redefine woman, fetus, domestic terrorist, insurrection, voter suppression, illegal alien, anti-police, and now recession. What a strategy. When you lose an argument, just change the dictionary. And this was responded to by Brady Alfredson on Twitter, Pure Orwell. Minnie True says on Twitter, every record has been destroyed or falsified, every book rewritten, every picture has been repainted, every statue and street building has been renamed, every date has been altered, and the process is continuing day by day and minute by minute. And that's actually a quote from the book 1984. Roger Murray tweets, Oceania has always been at war with East Asia, Glenn. You somehow must be mistaken. And B.R. Cooper tweets, they are literally changing the dictionary, and it shows Merriam-Webster's definition of trans woman, female, and racism. Mark Allen tweets, change the words, change the world. And Jeffrey Anderson tweets an image, written in 1954, read it again, and take notes. And it's a screenshot of a document, opinion from a former judge. I am a student of law whose age is 85. My first year of college was 68 years ago. One class I took was political science. A half page of my textbook essentially outlined a few steps to overturn a democracy. 1. Divide the nation philosophically. 2. Foment racial strife. 3. Cause distrust of police authority. 4. Swarm the nation's borders indiscriminately and unconstitutionally. 5. Engender the military strength to weaken it. 6. Overburden citizens with more unfair taxation. 7. Encourage civil rioting and discourage accountability for all crime. 8. Control all balloting. 9. Control all media. What was printed in 1954 as a possible diabolic nightmare has become an emerging reality. I hope that Americans will unite enough to pen a good finish. Go Dwelling. And it's signed Keith M. Alba, California. People also reminded Glenn of a few more redefined words or phrases to add to his list. COVID Toe says, don't forget court packing. Steve Rosenoff tweets, don't forget assault weapon. They changed that also. Don't forget they also redefined vaccine also, tweeted Joe's eyes used to be blue. Jeffrey Anderson tweeted, missed plandemic. Principal guy, or harvest votes, or pack the court. Andy Broadbent, you forgot mostly peaceful. And don't forget Asian murder hornets and monkeypox. Fred the guest says, we live in incredibly stupid times, in response to a New York Post tweet that says scientists change Asian murder hornet's name to avoid discrimination. Commissioner Ashwin Vasan, MD, PhD, tweets, we're calling on at WHO to act immediately to rename the monkeypox virus. We have a growing concern for the potentially stigmatizing effects that the messaging around the monkeypox virus can have on vulnerable communities. And it's got a screenshot of a letter and a link to that letter on newyorkcity.gov. On the radio program, Glenn Beck ran through an extensive list of other simple terms the left is redefining to fit its narrative, just as the minions of Big Brother in George Orwell's 1984 used newspeak to further their totalitarian propaganda. Another example of the 1984-ish dystopian society that we're living in at the moment is reported on by the Epoch Times. Twitter censors all content from the Epoch Times. The social media company must explain itself for this outrageous act of censorship, Senator Mark Rubio says. Twitter on July 28th imposed a blockade on all content from the Epoch Times without explanation, raising further concerns about freedom of speech on the platform and drawing ire from three US senators. The platform enforced a warning on all links from the Epoch Times. A click on a link directs users to a page titled Warning, this link may be unsafe, which prompts users to return to the previous page. The link you are trying to access has been identified by Twitter or our partners as being potentially spammy or unsafe, the warning stated, citing Twitter's URL policy. An Epoch Times tweet, we are aware that Twitter has marked all links to the epochtimes.com as unsafe. We believe this is a mistake and we have submitted a review to Twitter support. The notice said that the link could fall into any of four categories: malicious links that could steal personal information or harm electronic devices, spammy links that mislead people or disrupt their experience, violent or misleading content that could lead to real-world harm, or content that, if posted directly on Twitter, are a violation of the Twitter rules. Twitter's warning page allows users to proceed to the Epoch Times link if they click on the word continue at the very bottom of the page. The platform has not responded to multiple requests from the Epoch Times for clarification. Senator Marco Rubio, Republican Florida, Vice Chairman of the Select Committee on Intelligence, Senator Ron Johnson, Republican Wisconsin, who serves on the Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, and Senator Rick Scott, Republican Florida, who serves on the Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs, decried the move as an act of censorship. Twitter is blocking all links to Epoch Times, including a story about a human trafficking survivor, and labelling them as spammy and unsafe. Twitter must explain itself for this outrageous act of censorship, Rubio wrote in a July 29th tweet. Johnson described Twitter's action as alarming. Twitter is censoring Epoch Times under the guise of unsafe speech. Remember what happened the last time corporate media and big tech tried to censor my investigation on Hunter Biden corruption, he wrote. The truth always prevails. Scott asked Twitter in a July 29th tweet, where's the respect for free speech and freedom of press, Twitter? We all remember your biased censorship of the New York Post and how that ended for you, Scott said. I'm not going to read the rest of that article, but also just a point that there have been more doctors suspended permanently on Twitter for sharing information about the VAERS reporting, the number of deaths and adverse reactions to the so-called vaccine. So the censorship is absolutely rampant. However, there are states that are fighting back against this. And this is a report from Trending Politics. The cards are beginning to fall, discovery phase to begin against Biden administration for social media collusion. It looks like the cards are beginning to fall and the truth is finally coming to light. Officials in the states of Missouri and Louisiana have been granted permission by a federal court judge to obtain information and documents from top-ranking officials within the Biden administration that pertain to alleged collusion with social media platforms to suppress free speech, which may have had a hand in determining the outcome of the 2020 election. The last time I checked, that was considered election interference. And Children's Health Defense tweets, "We will fight to get to the bottom of this alleged collusion and expose the suppression of hashtag freedom of speech by social media giants at the behest of top-ranking government officials. At AG Eric Schmidt, hashtag the defender." And it's actually got a link to an article by Children's Health Defense. Fauci top Biden officials subpoenaed in lawsuit alleging they colluded. Terry Doughty, a Trump-appointed judge in the U.S. District Court for the Western District of Louisiana, has ruled in favor of the request for the discovery process to move forward. This ruling will open the door of discovery for the attorneys general to collect documents from top-ranking Biden administration officials and social media bullies. Judge Terry Doughty provided a timeline in which federal officials and social media platforms must hand over documents. That ruling was issued on July 12th. End Times News Junkie tweets, "Court rules Biden administration's collusion with social media be exposed." Federal officials and social media platforms must also hand over their requested documents and answer questions from officials from Missouri and Louisiana within the next 30 days, according to the judge's ruling. The ruling comes after the attorneys general of Louisiana and Missouri filed a lawsuit in May stating that the Biden administration colluded with and/or coerced social media companies to suppress disfavored speakers' viewpoints and content on social media platforms by labeling the content disinformation, misinformation, and malinformation. The social media giants being named in the lawsuit are Meta, Twitter, and YouTube, which were announced by the attorneys general in the two states in May. The lawsuit also goes on to claim that President Joe Biden himself, along with other top-ranking government officials, worked with the social media platforms to make sure certain information was censored and suppressed, and that free speech, including truthful information about the origins of COVID-19, the effectiveness of masks, election integrity, and the security of voting by mail, as well as the ongoing Hunter Biden laptop scandal, was kept from the American public at large who used these social media platforms. Anyone who spoke the truth or violated the algorithms was banned, shadow banned, or censored from the platforms. Some people have even had their profiles taken down. Jennifer Waters tweets via @QuantumLight, "Who decides? In a week when free speech and the right to choose were further trampled, RFK, that's Robert F. Kennedy, was banned from YouTube and information on vitamin D deficiency and COVID was suppressed." Among the many defendants cited in the lawsuit, a few of the big names include Joe Biden, former Press Secretary Jen Psaki, Chief Medical Advisor to the President and Director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, Dr. Anthony Fauci, former Disinformation Governance Board Executive Director Nina Yankovic, Surgeon General Vivek Murthy, Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, and several others. The lawsuit specifically accuses Joe Biden officials of pressuring and colluding with social media giants Meta, Twitter, and YouTube to censor free speech in the name of combating so-called disinformation and misinformation, which led to the suppression and censorship of truthful information on several topics, including COVID-19. Information we've known all along could have saved countless human lives. The complaint also goes as far as alleging that the US Department of Homeland Security's Disinformation Governance Board was created to induce, label, and pressure the censorship of disfavored content, viewpoints, and speakers on social media platforms. In announcing the court's decision to grant the Attorney General's request, Eric Schmidt, the Attorney General for the state of Missouri, said on Twitter, "No one has had the chance to look under the hood before. Now we do." And it shows the tweet from Eric Schmidt. "Breaking, a federal court granted our request for discovery and documents from top-ranking Biden officials and social media companies to get to the bottom of their collusion to suppress and censor free speech." And it ends, "No one has had the chance to look under the hood before. Now we do." So along similar lines, let's just look at this latest information that's come out about FBI corruption. And we have seen in plain sight that the FBI, CIA and DOJ have been weaponized by the Democrat Party and by other deep state players against the White Hats, against the Republicans, at least the Republicans who aren't rhinos, and certainly against Trump supporters, MAGA supporters. And this is an article by Technofog. FBI whistleblowers allege FBI scheme to protect Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. And is Maine justice controlling the Hunter Biden prosecution decisions? Yesterday, Senator Chuck Grassley sent this letter to Attorney General Merrick Garland and FBI Director Christopher Wray regarding allegations from highly credible whistleblowers about the FBI's false portrayal of derogatory Hunter Biden materials as disinformation. Just as an aside, this was published July 26th. "If these allegations are true, it's a damning depiction of FBI leadership and it proves their efforts to influence the 2020 election. This is the second, if not third, straight election the FBI has meddled in, given the influence the Trump-Russia investigation and its unlawful origins within the FBI had over the 2018 midterms." Grassley's whistleblowers alleged that in August 2020, FBI headquarters improperly discredited negative Hunter Biden information as disinformation and caused investigative activity to cease. In fact, it was a scheme of top FBI officials. As Grassley explains, "The allegations provided to my office appear to indicate that there was a scheme in place among certain FBI officials to undermine derogatory information connected to Hunter Biden by falsely suggesting it was disinformation. The context and timing is important, as this was leading up to the 2020 election. Who benefited from this scheme? Democrat candidate Joe Biden, and it appears the FBI scheme furthered the interests of congressional Democrats. Here's how that happened. On July 13, 2020, Democrat leaders Chuck Schumer, Mark Warner, Nancy Pelosi, and Adam Schiff sent this letter to the FBI alleging that Congress was the subject of a foreign disinformation campaign. The Democrats demanded that the FBI provide a classified defensive briefing on the issue of foreign disinformation and that the briefing draw on all source intelligence, information, and analysis. Parts of that letter were leaked to the congressional Hunter Biden investigation to foreign disinformation. 3 days later, on July 16, 2020, Democrat Senators Gary Peters and Ron Wyden made their own demand of an FBI and intelligence community briefing related to purported foreign interference. According to Grassley, these Democrat efforts resulted in an unnecessary briefing from the FBI in August 2020 relating to disinformation, which was later leaked to the press to paint the Biden investigation in a false light. In other words, the FBI was more than willing to be used by the Democrats less than 3 months before the 2020 election. Then there's also the issue of FBI headquarters interfering in the Hunter Biden investigation, Grassley states. In September 2020, investigators from the same FBI HQ team were in communication with FBI agents responsible for the Hunter Biden information targeted by Orton's assessment. The FBI HQ team's investigators placed their findings with respect to whether reporting was disinformation in a restricted access subfile reviewable only by the particular agents responsible for uncovering the specific information. The FBI headquarters team made findings to whether certain reporting was disinformation, and then they limited access to those findings. This begs the question, what were those findings, and did they conflict with the popular narrative, falsely peddled by the Democrats and the media and former intelligence officials, that the Hunter Biden materials were disinformation? The FBI was reticent to share this information before the election. When then-Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe stated there was, quote, no intelligence to support allegations of Russian disinformation efforts tied to the Hunter Biden materials, the FBI responded they had nothing to add at this time. Of course, this is apparently now disproven. The FBI had something to add, they just didn't want to share it with the American people. And there's still more. In October 2020, the whistleblowers alleged that, quote, an avenue of additional derogatory Hunter Biden reporting was ordered closed at the direction of FBI agent Timothy Tybalt. Who is Tybalt? He is a partisan anti-Trump FBI agent from the Washington field office who shared derogatory social media posts about Attorney General Barr and retweeted Lincoln Project posts insulting President Trump. Tybalt has since locked his Twitter account, which is highlighted with a Ukraine flag. You can make your own judgment on that. Back to Tybalt's actions with respect to the Hunter Biden investigation. The whistleblowers further alleged that Tybalt suggested the Hunter Biden information was at risk of disinformation, although all of the reporting was either verified or verifiable via criminal search warrants. Tybalt allegedly also violated FBI guidelines by ordering the matter closed without a valid reason. Tybalt and other FBI officials then covered these tracks, attempting to improperly mark the matter in FBI systems so that it could not be opened in the future. Making matters worse, if that's possible, we also learnt from Grassley's letter that FBI SIA, Supervisory Intelligence Analyst, Brian Orton, was handling aspects of the Hunter Biden investigation. Who is Brian Orton? He interviewed Igor Danchenko, Christopher Steele's primary subsource, who now faces an upcoming trial with Special Counsel John Durham for lying to federal officials. We suspect that Orton covered up or otherwise smothered Danchenko's lies to protect the Trump-Russia investigation and to thus also protect the FBI's institutional interests. Our friend Stephen McIntyre, aka Climate Audit, has focused on Orton in the past. Here's his Orton rabbit hole. The fact that Orton is in any way involved in the Hunter Biden investigation is not a good sign, and it indicates the FBI has failed to punish its most corrupt and incompetent employees. The letter from Grassley comes after CNN reporting on July 20th that the federal investigation into Hunter Biden's business activities is nearing a critical juncture as investigators weigh possible charges and prosecutors confront Justice Department guidelines to generally avoid bringing politically sensitive cases close to an election, according to people briefed on the matter. There are some clues in the CNN report that suggest members of Biden's DOJ are trying to serve President Biden by protecting his son. First, current DOJ officials, including those at DOJ headquarters, have debated whether prosecution of Hunter Biden for tax and firearm charges should be put off until after the 2022 midterms. But as CNN observes, federal prosecutors have brought politically charged cases against Trump attorney Michael Cohen and Republican Congressman Chris Collins just before the 2018 election. Second, this suggests that there is at least some supervision of the Hunter Biden investigation by top-level DOJ officials appointed by Biden. CNN reports that the investigation has entered its final stages and that prosecutors have narrowed their focus to tax and gun-related charges. If Hunter Biden is indeed charged with those narrow crimes, it's going to be essential to determine who made that call. After all, there is more than enough evidence to charge Hunter Biden with violating the Foreign Agent Registration Act, Bijan Rafikian of the Flynn Intel Group faced similar charges for far less egregious conduct. Recall previous New York Times reporting that there has been debate within the Justice Department over whether the available evidence proves that Mr. Biden intended to violate FARA, which the government must prove in order to secure a criminal conviction. As we have observed, this misstates the law on FARA. One must ask whether the DOJ is making it intentionally difficult to prosecute Hunter Biden for his FARA violations and his schemes to enrich himself and to manipulate his political connections as he furthered the interests of his foreign clients. This gives us another question: who is making these prosecuting decisions? Is it the career prosecutors or is it main justice? If Hunter Biden escapes the FARA charges, or if he isn't indicted before the upcoming elections, I think we can safely assume main justice is pulling some strings, and that's a scandal in its own right. And that's the end of that article. But the other thing is, why is he not being prosecuted for his crack cocaine possession, which Joe Biden was in Congress saying that the smallest amount of cocaine or crack should mean prison for the people who possess it? So obviously it doesn't apply to somebody like Hunter Biden. How interesting. And the other thing is the amount of pedophile video and pornographic video on that laptop is horrific. So there's far more to go after Hunter Biden for than is just tax and illegal possession of a firearm. And Jim Jordan also has information from whistleblowers. This is the Epoch Times. Whistleblowers claim FBI leaders pressuring agents to pad domestic terrorism data. This is July 27th. And updated yesterday. Agents at the FBI are being pressured by superior officers to massage reports and pad the resulting data on the number of incidents involving domestic violent extremists, DVE, according to information provided by agency whistleblowers to Representative Jim Jordan, Republican, Ohio. Jordan is presently the ranking Republican on the House Judiciary Committee and is likely to become chairman of the panel if the GOP retakes the majority in the lower chamber of Congress in the November elections. The Ohio Republican made public late on July 27th his letter to FBI Director Christopher Wray explaining that GOP members of the Judiciary panel continue to hear from brave whistleblowers about disturbing conduct at the FBI. From recent protected disclosures, we have learnt that FBI officials are pressuring agents to reclassify cases as domestic violent extremism, even if the cases do not meet the criteria for such a classification, the letter reads. Given the narrative pushed by the Biden administration that domestic violent extremism is the greatest threat facing our country, the revelation that the FBI may be artificially padding domestic terrorism data is scandalous. Jordan noted that the FBI's definition of DVEs is, quote, an individual based and operating primarily within the United States or its territories Without direction or inspiration from a foreign terrorist group or other foreign power who seeks to further political or social goals wholly or in part through unlawful acts of force or violence, end quote. Ray and Attorney General Merrick Garland have repeatedly claimed that violence perpetrated by DVEs, including the January 6, 2021 breach at the US Capitol, represent the greatest domestic security threat facing the United States. Ray told Congress last year, according to Jordan, that the FBI has established a very, very active domestic terrorism investigation program and doubled the amount of domestic terrorism investigations, while Garland has said the number of open FBI domestic terrorism investigations this year has increased significantly. Jordan says the whistleblowers are FBI employees concerned about improper pressures being brought to bear against field agents to misrepresent what they are seeing. We have received accusations that FBI agents are bolstering the number of cases of DVEs to satisfy their superiors. For example, one whistleblower explained that because agents are not finding enough DVE cases, they are encouraged and incentivized to reclassify cases as DVE cases, even though there is minimal circumstantial evidence to support the reclassification, Jordan told Ray. Another whistleblower, who led at least one high-profile domestic terrorism investigation, stated that a field office counterterrorism assistant special agent in charge and the FBI's director of the counterterrorism division have pressured agents to move cases into the DVE category to hit self-created performance metrics. The artificial performance metrics are being used to determine which agents receive promotions and bonuses, according to the information the whistleblowers have given to Jordan. Jordan pointed out to Ray that the allegations from the whistleblowers confirm concerns that the congressman has repeatedly expressed to the FBI chief. These whistleblower allegations that the FBI is padding its domestic violent extremist data cheapens actual examples of violent extremism. This information also reinforces our concerns, about which we have written to you several times, regarding the FBI's politicization under your leadership, Jordan wrote. As we have detailed, multiple whistleblowers have disclosed how the Biden FBI is conducting a purge of FBI employees holding conservative views. You have ignored these concerns. It appears instead that the FBI is more focused on classifying investigations to meet a woke left-wing agenda. Jordan requested that by August 10th, Ray provide copies of all documents and communications concerning all preliminary investigations and full investigations classified as domestic violent extremism since January 2020. In addition, Jordan told Ray he wants copies of all documents and communications between or among employees of the FBI and Department of Justice with anybody in the executive office of the president. Jordan also wants the total number of confidential human sources working for the FBI who have reported incidents alleged to involve DVE since January 2020. The Department of Homeland Security, which works closely with the FBI on domestic security issues, published a June 7th advisory that warned, as the United States enters midterm election season this year, we assess that calls for violence by domestic violent extremists directed at democratic institutions, political candidates, party offices, election events, and election workers will likely increase. And of course, the worst of these domestic violent extremists were Antifa and BLM in the summer of 2020. But of course, none of those have been locked up like the January 6 peaceful protesters. I just want to quickly mention another article which indicates that this kind of bias towards the Democrats and against conservatives has been going on for more than a decade. And this is Just the News. And the article says, DOJ official named in FBI politicization allegations played role in Lois Lerner IRS scandal. Richard Pilger pushed idea of criminal prosecution of Tea Party group's political speech, congressional evidence shows. A senior Justice Department official recently flagged by a U.S. senator in an FBI whistleblower probe into alleged politicization of prosecutions played a key role in the Lois Lerner IRS scandal a decade ago, in which conservative Tea Party groups were improperly targeted for scrutiny, government emails and congressional evidence shows. Richard Pilger, the current chief of the DOJ Elections Crime Branch of the department's Public Integrity Section, engaged in discussions in 2010 and 2013 with Lerner and other IRS officials about ways to pursue criminal prosecutions of conservative nonprofits, the records show. So obviously this has been going on for quite some time. And now we have further indications of the weaponization of the DOJ. This is Gateway Pundit reporting. Breaking: Joe Biden's DOJ opens investigation into President Trump. This was published July 26th. The Biden Justice Department has opened an investigation into Trump's actions to, quote, overturn the 2020 election results. The Biden regime is jailing its political opponents and now investigating a former U.S. president. Meanwhile, the Republican Party is silent. According to the Washington Post, DOJ prosecutors are probing conversations with Trump, his lawyers, and others in his inner circle who sought to substitute Trump allies for certified electors from some states Joe Biden won. The Washington Post reported, the Justice Department is investigating President Donald Trump's actions as part of its criminal probe of efforts to overturn the 2020 election results, according to four people familiar with the matter. Prosecutors who are questioning witnesses before a grand jury, including two top aides to Vice President Mike Pence, have asked in recent days about conversations with Trump, his lawyers, and others in his inner circle who sought to substitute Trump allies for certified electors from some states Joe Biden won, according to two people familiar with the matter. Both spoke on the condition of anonymity to discuss an ongoing investigation. The prosecutors have asked hours of detailed questions about meetings Trump led in December 2020 and January 2021, his pressure campaign on Pence to overturn the election, and what instructions Trump gave his lawyers and advisers about fake electors and sending electors back to the states, the people said. Some of the questions focused directly on the extent of Trump's involvement in the fake elector effort led by his outside lawyers, including John Eastman and Rudy Giuliani, these people said. There are two principal tracks of the investigation that could ultimately lead to additional scrutiny of Trump, two people familiar with the situation said, also speaking on the condition of anonymity to discuss an ongoing investigation. And the Gateway Pundit has highlighted the next two sections. The first centres on seditious conspiracy and conspiracy to obstruct a government proceeding, the type of charges already filed against individuals who stormed the Capitol on January 6th, and on two leaders of far-right groups, Stuart Rhodes and Henry Enrique Tarrio, who did not breach the Capitol but were allegedly involved in planning the day's events. The second involves potential fraud associated with the false elector scheme or with pressure Trump and his allies allegedly put on the Justice Department and others to falsely claim that the election was rigged and votes were fraudulently cast. And it gives a link to the full report by the Washington Post. And a tweet from the Washington Post, breaking news, the Justice Department is investigating President Donald Trump's actions as part of its criminal probe of efforts to overturn the 2020 election results, according to four people familiar with the matter. The Washington Post report comes as U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland said he is open to prosecuting Trump for his role in January 6th. Merrick Garland was asked by NBC's Lester Holt if indicting a former president would tear the country apart. "Look, we pursue justice without fear or favour," Merrick Garland told NBC's Lester Holt in an interview that will air Tuesday night. "So if Donald Trump were to become a candidate for president again, that would not change your schedule or how you move forward or don't move forward?" Holt asked. "I'll say again that we will hold accountable anyone who is criminally responsible for attempting to interfere with the transfer, legitimate, lawful transfer of power from one administration to the next," Garland said. And it's got a tweet from NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt, which includes the video of that interview. "No person is above the law in this country. There is nothing in the principles of prosecution which prevent us from investigating anyone who is criminally responsible for an attempt to undo a democratic election," Merrick Garland said last week when asked if Trump can be prosecuted. So if no one is above the law, how come all these Democrats are getting away with lying to Congress, giving false evidence, running this kangaroo court that only allows one side of the story to be told? I think they are going to be hoist on their own petard when the Republicans take back the House and the Senate. The X-22 report actually had some comments on this. And he does mention that no president has ever been persecuted like Trump has. And Trump is the bait. He's counting on being attacked. And with every attack, he sets up the trap. So in response to Merrick Garland's statement that no person is above the law, X-22 reports Dave says that this is trap one of setting a precedent for prosecuting anyone involved in undermining a democratic election. He said Trump didn't undo a democratic election. It was the Dems and foreign interference who interfered to undo a democratic election in which Trump won. So again, you know, it seems like everything's going the way that the Democrats want, but this is being set up to trap them and to be the victim of what they've tried to project onto Trump and the Republicans and the MAGA supporters. He also says, and this is something that Kash Patel has reported on, is that the DOJ doesn't have a case against Trump in terms of organizing this or being behind this so-called insurrection, because he actually authorized the National Guard to be available to protect the Capitol on January 6th. And Nancy Pelosi, the Capitol Police, and Mayor Bowser, I think it is, the DC mayor, they all refused the help of the National Guard. And what Kash Patel was saying was that Liz Cheney has effectively exonerated Trump because she stated in an interview that Trump had not issued the order to send the National Guard in to protect the Capitol. But the president does not have the authority to do that. The only thing he has authority to do is to authorize the National Guard, and it is up to whoever is in charge of that jurisdiction to request the National Guard that he has already authorized. And as Kash Patel says, Liz Cheney should know this inside and out because she's involved with the committee related to the military. So there's no excuse for making that kind of claim, which is trying to implicate Trump in being responsible for what happened at the Capitol on January 6th, which is, again, more lies. Of course, what they're trying to deflect from is the various states that are on the verge of decertifying the election results, the Electoral College votes, because more and more of the corruption is being exposed. And of course, the amount of fraud that actually did go on in the 2020 election. And we've also seen it in some of the primaries that have happened in the last few months. There's a report by Gateway Pundit again, which was published today, which is about El Paso County in Colorado. Logic and accuracy testing of Secretary of State primary race raises several questions. We learned Friday that El Paso County, Colorado, had a highly unusual logic and accuracy test for the 2022 Secretary of State primary recount. This is the same primary in which retired U.S. Air Force officer Linda Zamora Wilson was told she lost a race she had just been declared the winner of by a significant margin, only to have it stripped away 38 minutes later with no explanation. Wilson won her convention seat against her opponent 52% to 48% in April with just a two-week-old campaign. I think we've also seen the recall election in California was obviously rigged to keep Gavin Newsom in power. And there are many more instances of this. The Gateway Pundit also published another article. This is back on July 15th. Huge election update. Data supporting the reported results of the 2020 election does not reconcile with data in voting machine files. Something is very wrong. So there's more and more evidence out there that this 2020 election was stolen. And maybe this prosecution by the DOJ of Trump will enable all of this evidence of voter fraud to be brought out in court, so that it's all exposed and the election can then hopefully be decertified. Now, I just want to mention quickly, we know that the January 6th Unselect Committee has just been lying and more lying about what happened on January 6th. And we know it was an inside job. It's as obvious as, well, plain as the nose on your face, as I said earlier. This is an Epoch Times article. Exclusive Capitol Police use of force reports expose brutality of unprovoked attacks against January 6 protesters. Conflicting timeline reports and identical language used by numerous officers in separate reports raise questions. This was published July 27th. A 104-page report issued 3 months after the events at the Capitol building on January 6, 2021, said the Capitol Police's Civil Disturbance Unit, CDU, was ordered by supervisors not to use heavier, less lethal weapons like flashbangs. However, video evidence, along with Capitol Police use of force reports, obtained exclusively by the Epoch Times, exposes conflicts in timelines, the brutality of the unprovoked attacks against January 6 protesters, and how leadership ordered the deployment of munitions on a peaceful crowd. And it's got the video evidence. Victoria White, according to Police One, the number one resource for law enforcement online, which promotes the highest standards of business ethics, police are trained to target large muscle groups like legs, chest, abdomen and arms with batons. Intentionally striking areas like the head, sternum and spine are considered to be the same act of deadly force as firing a gun. However, a video shows January 6 defendant Victoria White being beaten over the head 35 times with a metal baton and punched in the face by an officer of the Metropolitan Police of the District of Columbia. White, seen wearing a Trump hat, is unarmed and posed no threat to the officer. She raises her hands in defense during the brutal attack, collapsing more than once, only to be stood up by other officers to be maced and beaten again. To add insult to injury, her legal team said at a January 6, 2022 press conference, she was indicted for being pushed into the tunnel entrance and for daring to put her hands up in a defensive posture while getting beaten by the police. There's then mention of Roseanne Boyland. I've covered this on a previous show where She was basically beaten to death by one of the Capitol police. Ashley Babbitt, of course, was shot by Police Lieutenant Michael Byrd, who, without any real investigation, wasn't charged for any crime. I don't have time to read the rest of the report, but anyone who watched the January 6th incident unfold will have seen and been horrified by the brutality of the police. I know I was, thinking, how on earth can this happen in the United States of America? So this whole story that's being told by the Unselect Committee is just a complete pack of lies to cover up their own involvement in entrapping MAGA supporters by making it look like they were the violent protesters, which of course is ridiculous. I hope you've enjoyed the show and that you'll join me for another Cosmic Creating show next week. As a reminder, you can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net, thewebalchemist.net and empoweredmanifestation.com. I'd also like to thank Nancy for producing and also Derek Condit of mysticalwares.com for sponsoring Cosmic Reality Radio and making all this possible. Please visit his website, mysticalwares.com, for a wonderful range of shungite products and other metaphysical products. It has a wonderful selection. So until next time, stay well, be safe, and bye for now.
You have been listening to Cosmic Creating with Jan Shaw, updating current reality, a production of CosmicReality.com.